So nobody has any
Okay, we have two more members here.
Okay.
We're calling the meeting to order. Please take your seats. We're calling the meeting to order. Please take your seats for a second, then we'll call and roll. Will the secretary please call the roll? Secretary, please call the roll.
Margie, can you do a form call?
Okay, we'll call the roll, please.
Ken Aaron
here.
Chuck Air. Anthony Angerum. Rodrigo Arrieta. Tim Bitton. Fred Blair.
Present.
Red Imbersong.
Here.
John Pumpto.
Present.
John DeCilio.
Here.
Ariana Gladney.
Here.
Tej Graywall.
Here.
Leonard Eisenberg.
Here.
Kim Kaufman.
He's in the green room.
Here. Fred Quander.
Here.
Jim Lafferty requested and he is absent. Ali Lexa.
Here.
Brenda Medina.
Here.
Dutch Merrick. Margie Murray.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
John Parker.
Present.
Summer Reed.
Present.
Oh.
Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
John Wenger.
Present.
Lamont Yankee.
Present.
Okay, I failed to ask for approval of the delegates assembly for the excused absence request for Jim Rafferty, and then there were many objections to noting that as excused absence retroactively. Seeing none, so does the body approve the excused absence for Mr. Rafferty for this meeting to the LSC? No objections, so we have a proposed agenda. And maybe the secretary can read it off the computer so that we're not circulating. Can you about it? Call to order and opening business, 15 minutes. Number two, LSC officers. December bylaws requirement, 50 minutes. Roman numeral 3, public comment 1, during the above item. Roman numeral 4, scheduling notice of meetings, including 2013 calendar of meetings, 5 minutes. Roman numeral 5, general manager report summary and Q&A, 20 minutes, including GM summarized report and board questions and discussion. Roman numeral 6, public comment 2, questions to general manager, 7.5 minutes. Roman numeral 7, GM response to public comment for 2 minutes. Roman numeral 8, P&B director's report, 20 minutes, including P&B directors and P&B committee. Roman numeral 9, public comment 3, questions to P&B directors, 7.5 minutes. Roman numeral 10, P&B directors respond to public comment for 2 minutes. Roman numeral 11, committee and task force reports, and for 3 minutes each, total 21 minutes, fundraising, finance, program oversight, outreach, personnel, town hall task force, and governance. And Roman numeral 12, public comment 4, 7.5 minutes. Total time, 130 minutes.
Number one, I think that meetings for 2013 should be set when there is a known LLC. Number two, I want an hour and a half more meetings. I want an hour more. I want to adjourn at 4 o'clock. So we need to eliminate something here.
You proposing a time certain for adjournment?
Yeah, 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Can I yield my speaking time to
Israel?
To Israel to make suggestions for the agenda?
Two suggestions. One,
no.
Exhibit 45.
It's a prerogative of the chair, right?
Well, what for California would you say?
May I say them? No, Executive Committee report to act on the program director, long overdue. And secondly, a report on the LFB election. Unfortunately, the supervisor isn't here, but nevertheless, those two items should be added.
Taking it under consideration. So right now on the floor is the agenda, any amendments to the agenda.
We have a motion to have a time certain of 4 o'clock, then I have a point of information.
Point of order, Chair?
I second it.
It doesn't it still take two-thirds to alter the agenda?
No, because the agenda hasn't been approved yet.
Yeah, it's only a proposed agenda. It doesn't require two-thirds. So the first...
Comment, Mr. Chairman? Huh? Comment before we
vote? Right now on the floor is a motion to have a time certain for adjournment. What was it for? 4 p.m. sharp?
Two things. Firstly, I'm here, as I suppose most of us are, because we saw a time of 1 to 5 p.m. for this meeting. So I think we should default to being here until 5 o'clock, unless the opinion of the chair and the governance committee, there is sufficient work before us. Michael Bonus is that correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Chair, but
yeah, the original Michael Bonus was like the original proposal was for a 1 hour delegate to come to a 3 hour LFP.
Well, that's 1 hour turned into 2 hours.
Well, 1 and 3 is from 1 to 5. The body always has the option. Any further discussion on the motion of adjourning at time certain at 4 o'clock?
I'm sorry. Between senior moments and not having an agenda in front of me, just briefly name the items again.
We have to do something about electing officers or not. We cannot see the new board because the LSP election is not ended. It was extended until January 8th. We have not yet achieved quorum. We have a GM report and discussion of it. We have a P&D director's report and discussion of that. We have some business items from committees and task forces. Report back on the town hall that's on the air and the proposal for LSP fundraiser in March. We have to set our meetings to postpone that until the new LSP members are seated. Mr. Aguilar and Mr.
Gustavo, question. Are we going to have a report of the local decision board election?
That's what
Yeah.
Brandon. Well, I want to
report in summary is that we have not yet achieved quorum in either election, either the listener election or the staff election. The Pacifica National Election Supervisors has extended the deadline for ballots to come in until January 8th, which is the 4 weeks from the original deadline of December 11th, I believe. And so we're trying to achieve quorum by promoting it again and trying to make sure that both staff and sufficient listeners vote to achieve quorum. That's what we stand. All the other stations have achieved quorum, I think, except possibly the DAI staff election. Dr. Wenger, then.
Dr. Wenger.
A couple
of comments. The 3-hour meeting duration is not part of the bylaws. It's not a sacred thing. It's just what we've been doing. There's no reason to do it or not do it. We can go 2 hours or 10 hours or 1 hour. The number is immaterial. So the fact is that there's 21 people here out of 24 board members. That's pretty good. It is holiday time, and we did spend time driving here. We had spent time driving back. I think that we should take advantage of the time we have together and use it effectively because we're here. Then a quick question. I'm speaking in favor of a longer meeting.
Excuse me, Ms. Kaufman, please do not call out.
I know I'm out of line. I'm sorry.
All right.
My quick question is, does anybody know the actual number of votes required from the KPFK listeners to achieve quorum? Is it like 1,503, or what is the exact number?
Point of order. We're not talking about the agenda.
Just a quick question.
The answer is about 400 votes shy. Ms. Reed.
This actually is about the agenda per se. It's just a request. I would like to request the meeting to be noticed on the KFCX calendar. I never get notices of the OSB meeting, so if I didn't talk to my colleagues, I never see an email that says there's an OSB meeting. I would like it just noticed as part of the regular calendar system so that I get notices. But I can, maybe they get sent that way in advance. But I don't mean the calendar on the internet. I mean, if it's part of the KFCX calendar, it will automatically send a reminder notice.
I have
to
request.
Really? I didn't get one. Are they just going? Okay.
Right. Okay, so is there any objection to calling the question on the motion to have a time certain of 4 o'clock? Seeing none, we'll just vote. I'm just going to ask for a show of hands. All in favor of terminating the meeting at 4 o'clock time certain, indicate by raising your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All opposed?
Oh.
Eight to eight, I count, so the motion failed.
Did you count? You did not count everybody.
Michael, please. All right, We'll count it again. All in favor of time certain at 4 o'clock, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's the same count I got before.
Two
abstentions.
Michael, please.
Okay.
You better stop it, please.
Please allow the chair to chair the meeting. The motion is defeated by the failure to reach a majority. We're going to move on to the question of the agenda as a whole. The next amendment that was proposed was to dispense with the meeting, scheduled meeting, until the new board is seated, if it is, in January. Is there a second for that motion? Mr. Aaron is second to the motion. Discussion of the motion to dispense with the schedule of meeting for the coming year. Mr. Sardone.
Yes, but I would substitute at least to have it decide the January meeting.
Okay.
Wait. Point of order. We're just talking about the agenda now, not substitute motions. You want to make a substitute motion to the agenda?
Oh, sorry.
Okay, but you want to remove the scheduled meeting from the agenda? So then,
and
if you want
I'm
to schedule January,
we
have to keep it on the agenda. So I'll take that as an opinion. Is it a friendly amendment or is it an opposition?
To do what?
Yes, that's fine. Schedule
postpone
the
till the next meeting.
Okay,
no,
I'm saying
schedule
only the January meeting.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Fine.
All right. Any objections to scheduling only the January meeting at this meeting? Seeing none, we'll move on. Any further objections to the agenda as proposed? Yes.
Can we make sure that we add the election and maybe do a report out on the research?
Unfortunately, we can't give the executive assessment report out because we didn't have an executive session to do it, so that's out of order at this point. I'm sorry. But we have to go into executive session, report out from the executive session. I don't think anybody wants us to do that today, but if somebody does, make a motion.
Yeah.
It's from going.
Oh, okay. So I thought the question was just to add the election to the agenda.
Both.
There were two issues raised. One was the election, and the other was a report out for the executive session that we held in the previous election.
Right. Okay. So you already answered the one. So are we having the elections on there or not?
I need to separate.
Okay. So there's nothing on the floor at the moment. If somebody wants to move either of those things,
I'll move that we separate.
I move the elections, the added
to the agenda. Any objection to adding the elections to the agenda? Seeing none, we'll add it after the GM report. Okay. Any further objections to the agenda as proposed? Seeing none, we'll consider it adopted. So the meeting has been called to order. The applicant's request for Mr. Rafferty was approved. The quorum is please, if you're in the LSC, wait to be recognized to speak, and if you're in the body of the floor, wait for the public comment to speak, and otherwise you'll be ruled out of order and asked to be quiet for the rest of the meeting. Announcement? Mr. Reyes, I think you have an announcement.
Yeah, an announcement. Today is Mala's birthday. Mala?
Thank you, Bella. Please don't call out. Last time I'll ask you. Okay, yeah. So approval of the minutes of the last LSB meeting that we have. Those words are good. Electronically, the LSB.
Second.
Okay, can you second any objections to approving the minutes that circulated electronically previous to the meeting? Seeing none, we'll consider number two. Yes, it was moved and seconded by Mr. Reyes. And approved without objection. Okay, the next item on our agenda was election of LSB officers. That was predicated on the idea that we were going to be seeking a new board and the board would elect its officers. So I'm going to entertain a motion to continue the current officers for another meeting until January or anything else people want to move.
So moved.
Second. Any objections? And we'll move on.
Next.
There was a public comment scheduled that on the offense that people want to voice their opinion on officer elections, but we could take public comments if you wish. Otherwise, the scheduled meeting was restricted to the question of the January meeting. The schedule would have been Saturday, January 19th. No, it was proposed. What we said is we're not going to vote any other additional meetings until we keep the new board as possible. At the January meeting, but we were scheduled for the January meeting. January 19th, I think, would comply with the PMB proposal that the LSP meet by the 19th, seeking board members. Mm-hmm. At the Saturday meeting, any objection having two Saturday meetings in a row?
Yes,
okay.
No, we didn't. Yes, we did. Well, we elected...
All right, there's an objection. So, is there a counterproposal to January 19th?
Well, last year we had an LSB in December, so we elected the officers of the LSB in December, and then the PMB directors in the next meeting in January.
We had two Saturday meetings.
Yeah, the question is only, we're going to have to both elect our officers and the PMB directors. That means we will again have what we have today. We'll have a delegates assembly to, we'll have to do the opposite order. We're going to seat the new LSB, then they'll convene as delegates to elect the PMB directors, and then go back and reconvene, whatever you want to do with them. But in January, we will have both those elections.
Can we elect our local officers and PD directors at the same meeting?
Yes, I'm saying if we do that at the meeting in January, to me that means you want to have a Saturday to do it because we're going to have a lot of voting.
Right.
And it's all SCD voting takes a long time. So I would hope we would stick with the January 19th proposal.
I move that.
I guess it's supposed to Saturday meeting based on that same concept that we have a lot of people to elect. And not speak personally, it's easier for me if it's something Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to affirm that.
Okay, so is there any objection to the meeting on January, Saturday, January 19th? I think we originally proposed to do both this meeting and that meeting here.
Yes.
Is there an objection to that? Okay, so meeting is noticed this Saturday, January 19th at 1 o'clock. We will have a delegate. We'll seek the board. The board will reconvene as a delegate at some point. We'll be electing officers of the board and PMB directors. Okay.
So since that's going to be a very long day with two different kinds of elections and everything, I'm going to propose that we have a longer break in between, and I'll some of us can bring food.
Okay.
And I
bring your pillow. All right, the general manager's summary of his report is in order.
Thank you. As the report was sent to meeting delegates and members yesterday, met up, and so hopefully you had a chance to look at it. It just basically covers what's been happening. It's very relatively short in terms of the holidays. But there are some important things in there, most notably, I think, the fact that we have ordered and have been shipped the new transmitter, which will restore us to full power by the end of January, all things being equal. So hopefully we'll be back to that 110,000 watts that we have the license to do. The fund drive we ran for the 14 days that we, or 15 days that we expected to do, it's pulled in over $550,000. I just noticed there for the first time here, so people can get an idea of where the big money comes from in terms of what we're doing with premiums. And the bullet points that are listed there are in order. From top to bottom, they are the biggest earners. The background briefing on Sunday the 9th of December pulled in about $10,000. And we go down through Democracy Now. We had a big Democracy Now day in the middle of the drive at about 9,000. Gary Knowles premiums pulled in quite a bit of money for us too. I've also mentioned here, while we're not officially recognizing Arbitron, I think it's worthwhile to note that some of our candidate statements have been saying that we've been hemorrhaging listeners, we've been shedding listeners, and that needs to be rebuilt. Interestingly enough, the November book rather was the biggest I've seen in my time here, with 160, almost 168,000 we consumed. If we go back to July last year, it was around 94,000, so that's a significant jump. We probably have the election coverage to thank for that in some degree. The point I would like to raise with respect to that, just for information, is that is everyone here familiar with what a P1 listener is? A P1 listener is a listener who uses the station as his or her first preference. The general rule of thumb is that people will listen to maybe 5 stations across the course of a week, but they will identify with one station in particular. Our P1 listeners are the people who use us more than any other station. They have really all but deserted us in the last couple of months, which is interesting, and I think it draws an interesting conclusion that I want to share with you, and that is that we are drawing in new listeners, but whether or not they are the listeners we want to draw in is the question that we probably have to address, and have to address relatively swiftly. What we're doing is we're building an audience, but whether it's the traditional Pacifica KPFK audience or not is the question we have to address. These figures suggest to me that it is not, that we are actually drawing in a new bunch of listeners. Now, if our listeners that are going to contribute to us as subscribers and members, that's a good thing, but if we are not serving our traditional P1 people, then that's not a good thing in my view, and we need to look at that. I just wanted to share that little bit of information with you. We have applied for a CPD grant in terms of the campaign they are running about education. The proposal has been put together to try and address in terms of the way we look at it, look at the community and in particular its dropout rate in Southern California. We want to look at that. We want to put together a program about that. We have applied for a grant to do that. We will find out probably in February whether or not we've been successful in that. quite a bit of stuff that will happen over the break in terms of keeping our building up to scratch. We're hosing out our sewer line tomorrow, I understand. We were going to remark the car park, but the rain will put paid to that for this month, so we'll look at that in the future. We're also trying to focus in on more on what we're doing in terms of social marketing, and you will have seen in the report that our Facebook likes grew more than 2,000 in the last couple of months. Engineering studios are working. We will have the transmitter in place by the end of January if everything goes according to plan. And we think, a solution to the Malibu problem with the FAA telling us we couldn't site our receive aerial on their property. We have another option now. We will have a microwave link from our transmitter to our transmit antenna on Saddle Peak, so we should be able to cover Malibu by the end of January as well. That's the basis of the report. I'm happy to take questions.
So we'll just go around.
Yeah, I would like to ask you to remove, you know, the usage of Arbitron as a measurement.
Yes.
That was approved in board, but that thing itself being challenged in court, and then use that as a point of measurement, you know, this measure. And also, you know, there is a lot of, a lot of people want in Salim in the way that, you know, this fundraiser being run. I was thinking to Dr. Wenger saying that Spanish programming doesn't have any support. But the way we see it is that the only programs that are running are only about four or five programs. So what are the rest of the programs that do have that support? So, now, we're attacking the rich people. That's the bottom line.
Right.
I saw, you know, one of the reports with two courts, $500, right? So, and then when we see the description of every report that is sent, you will see that there are some problems that got 25 courts in order to make $500. So when we talk about, is that the people that we want? Wouldn't it be a question, you know, for today, and especially during these elections, you know, that people doesn't give a damn about our elections. So we are drawing these people now who just want to be healthy. They want to be beautiful. They want to make money. Is that what we want for that registration?
Rodrigo, I said this at the outset that we don't recognize the Arbitron as an official major here, but I just wanted to tell you that's the only major I have at the moment. And I just wanted to make the point that that particular listenership has grown.
Just continuing around.
Yeah, a question further to your what you said about the gas. It appears that Ian's program was coming in first, Amy second, and Gary Noel third. The way I parse that from my sense of who we are, and I've said it before, and I have others here. We understand that Gary brings in money, but he is not who we are. Not to put you on the spot, but what can we do to phase out discussion, not of health, but of things that are perhaps arguably dubious? Can we do that, Mr. General Manager? Can we do that soon? I'm making some assumptions that Mr. Noel's comments were perhaps what you were referring to, bringing in people who are not P1.
It's a very good question, Serena, and I'm not sorry you asked it. It strikes me that in recent months, the stuff that Gary and I have been providing us with in terms of premium has resonated with a large bunch of people who don't want ruining gangs to steal their water buildings or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, it resonates, the interesting thing about what has happened to me in the past one too is that Ian Masters can generate large sum donations, large sum matching pages, which is great. Amy's tended to tail off in the last few fund drives. But what we've actually discovered in the last two fund drives, particularly, is that Alan Minsky or I pitch with Amy, things move a little bit faster, and that's what's happened in the last fund drive. I mean, it's for this body to discuss whether or not they want to continue with the Gary Mel opinion. The fact of the matter is it makes money for us. And this time around, it perhaps hasn't made as much money as we would have liked it to because the cost of the premium itself has been higher than our ratio is preferred. But it has definitely made a difference to us.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess a couple of things. The first off, before I can give them a couple of questions about the report, the finance committee in the past has tried to get the phone bill to find out what we pay. And so with regard to the report, there were two electric rate increases. So my questions were, what will be the financial impact of these electricity rate increases? How much more money per year and per month must we pay due to these rate increases? And also, just in terms of electricity, how many kilowatts a year do we use and how many per month? And what's our current electrical bill per year and per month? The Finance Committee may want to look at these things and look for savings and opportunities. So we need the data, I was just there right after an hour after you wrote the report, and I may not have had a chance to do it. Do you have that information now, and that's my first question.
I got your message last night, right. So I don't have the information at hand quite now. But I exactly what you say. Yes, a very good thing for us to look into. Yeah. I have no issue with that, and of course I have no issue with sharing that with finance. So do you have any other members?
Yeah, well, that's good, because previous general manager did have an issue with sharing that, and so it'd be great to have that mail to the board, and that'd be wonderful. Let's see, Rodrigo asked some questions about the Spanish language programming and talked about the Arbitrons. I do know that the board voted this year 9-8 to not use the Arbitrons, and frankly, I think that decision was a poor one. We need to try to be as quantitative as we can. Nobody is saying that we should only use the Arbitrons. We need to find better ways of doing it, but for us to close our eyes and not look at the Arbitrons is, I think, foolish. The other set of metrics we have is we have the number of dollars. That's too loud. Okay, let me just finish the thought then. I mean, people, I'm responding to the points which are brought up.
John, there are other people.
The point is that we have the income per program, and that's another metric, and when you combine that with the Arbitrons, you get an idea as to what is happening, and financially, we do have to pay the bills. And so that's the important point there. And we should, and I think, and I can help develop...
Point of order.
Thank you, Rick. Moving around the table.
I have a question for the general manager. Can you give us a status update on the implementation of the 5-hour Spanish language programming, please?
What I would do, Ken, is refer you to the PNB programming committee for that. They probably have a bit of idea.
Well, this is the first I heard that the National Program Committee had oversight, had responsibility for the implementation of the 5-hour language programming, which is a motion and a resolution that was already passed by the PNB, so I don't see why it should be shifted to us, and plus if we haven't made form in a couple of months, as I don't know. The last time we did make form, there's still an effort by some on the National Program Committee, advised by a lot of their leaders, to kill the Spanish language programming motion. And in regard to the Arbitrons, we passed a motion that the Arbitrons are discriminatory. And there was a decision by the California State Attorney's Office, and it was struck down that we cease using Arbitrons to correct the flaws that they have in them. Okay, so my other question, I have a question now in regards to the routine oil checkups on the generators. It looks like, I don't want to micromanage or anything like that, but it would be nice to see what kind of contract that was, and
it was over $2,500. We should at least be appraised of that. And I don't know if you could elucidate that question for me.
Yeah, again, Lawrence, I did acknowledge at the beginning that we have, as a body, this body has passed that motion about the Avatar. All I'm saying to you is that as a measure of audience, it's all I have right now. And I just wanted to I just wanted to make the point that while some candidate statements have been saying we've been losing this, that's not what it appears to us. The contract, as I'm saying, for maintenance is generated with less than I'm used, quite so enough. But I can check that out and provide you with that contract with no issue.
I noticed in the election program that there's a wave or a movement to discontinue Spanish broadcasting and put them on special underground FM band where people need their own Spanish-speaking radio. So I would like to call out that racist advertising by one of the candidates who I won't mention, but he's here today, and he's encouraging people on the air to do away with Spanish broadcasting and put them on an underground FM band for the neighborhood. And it's an all-out racist attack, and it's got to be observed and mentioned and noted.
Point of personal privilege.
Personal privilege is when you have to leave the room. Yeah. It's not to make a comment.
I'm sorry, according to Robert Jones' orders, the point of personal privilege is when a person is addressed, is spoken about directly.
No one is addressed by name. We're going to move on.
Well, it was addressed by name. Exactly by name.
We're
going to
move on.
Take
responsibility.
Two comments.
Come on.
One is, thank you for whoever sent out the KPSC dispatch getting the ballots in. I can see that more often and hopefully on the air to try and reach quorum for the election. But I do appreciate that gesture that was mentioned to me, saying that they were happy to see that the LSC was being advertised through that list. The second thing is because there were so many discrepancies in regards to the staff election, what steps are you taking as a general manager to remedy that for the next election, because the next election is coming up next year?
To be honest with you, Brenda, I have felt underserved during this particular election period, and the number of times I have had to go back and try and redo things that should have been done by an election supervisor has been difficult. But what we've done is we've tried every step of the way to remedy everything that has fallen through the cracks, if you like. It's been a difficult one. We've come up against addresses that are no longer current. We've tried to contact people have not responded. The only thing we can do now is use our airwaves and try and get the quorum up. We still need another 400 listener ballots to come back. 400 platforms, about 420. And about 22 staff ballots to come back. So that dispatch will be happening daily from now on to say that people come on back. And we will be making announcements on the air daily to get people to return their ballots. Even if they don't want to mark the ballots up, as long as we get the ballots back, we've got something to count.
Okay. If you know a database work, there's an old saying, crap in, crap out. You can't make an analysis off of that input material. Arbitron has been proven to be biased against communities of color, so you're not getting those indicators. So that's not good information that we need to use. If you just go by dollars, you don't know what your dollars, who's bringing in those dollars. Is it the folks who have a lot of money who are giving the dollars? Is that what we're really talking about, the audience? But we do have couple indicators. We can't get the quorum on the election, so our base isn't there. They're not responding. And the information that you gave us, which was great, about the fact that we're getting some new listeners, but our base is drifting away. That's the way you commit suicide if you're in an organization. You get rid of your base. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we have to change the priority. We need to put the Spanish language programming on top. We need to put the community programming on top. And we need to put the Ian Masters and the folks who are not on our mission statement. So that is driving people away. I know personally, and for every progressive person I know who I talk to, I don't even like to listen to the station during the week. I turned it on for some information analysis on a new take on the news, not the same Department of State. And I get mystical stuff. I get music, which is good sometimes, but I don't get. So we're whittling away our audience, and we really got to do something about that right now.
Thank you.
We're concerned about the station.
That microphone goes back.
Oh, and I just had to say, I got to drive back to Palm Springs for a family obligation. This is holiday. This is a holiday time this weekend. So I'm sorry. I appreciate it.
But there's a couple of things. There's a saying, I'll think about it tomorrow, it's always tomorrow, and we never get anywhere. I met with you at the beginning of last year about doing some fundraising. And we're in a situation where when I went into the phone room to answer the phone, I got a lot of P1 listeners calling me up and saying, I'm not listening to this station anymore. We are killing ourselves with the incessant fund drive, and yet we offer no alternative. I personally don't like Gary Noel, not because he's not a sweet man, whatever. He's a snake oil salesman. And it's way off mission. On the other hand, it behooves us at the board to find an alternative, because as you point out, he's paying the bill. If we don't want to be dependent on that, we need to get back on the mission statement and get a way of paying our bills. There are progressive people in this town that would give money. They're not going to give money to a station that is fighting and even chewing its own tail. Now, in terms of Arbitron, I listened to the Spanish language programming, and I heard coverage in Spanish language of the Mexican election that I heard nowhere in Spanish or English. Maybe the Arbitron are biased spying. Is there any indication of how well Spanish programming is doing so that we can justify giving more Spanish programming time for good Spanish programming, for good English programming, for good any programming? Because I think what the common complaint here is, a lot of what we're doing just isn't very good. The last comment, the generators. I used to be a mechanic. I always would like to have somebody signed up on a contract because it's a revenue flow, and a lot of times I can do the service on something for a hell of a lot less. But if I got them on a contract, I get money whether or not. So I would compare the service contract with just picking up the phone and saying, look, what is the service like? You can read the manual on these things. What is the service and how many hours does it take to do it?
We pay for the service we get. We lost power at the station 2 weeks ago for literally a few minutes before the generators kicked in. And thank God we had the generators to kick in because they had just been serviced. Otherwise we would have been dead in the water. I also just wonder how the people who called you, who don't listen anymore, knew when to call you in the phone room if they weren't listening.
It was not one call, it was people who called up that had, and people love KPFK, they love the message, but in 1 out of 3 days they're calling, they're turning on the station and they're getting a fund drive. They called me to voice their complaint. They think it's enough, you're killing your primary audience.
I don't disagree. But I also want to make the point that you asked a question about Arbitrons, and again, we need to acknowledge that the Arbitrons do not reflect populations of color or minority populations well enough, but the Arbitrons do show that the numbers at night are low. Radio numbers generally at night are low, but they are low. But again, I have to acknowledge that they don't accurately reflect certain populations in Southern California.
The alternative to this funding, because we beat each other over the head, we had a meeting in February, it's gone nowhere. If we don't want to be sitting here, because I know I ain't going to be sitting here, a year from now talking about the same thing and chewing on our tail, what alternatives are we developing actively to fund this station without spending 1 in 3 days answering telephones?
I don't know the answer to that, man. I don't know.
Hey, thank you. One thing that wasn't in your manager's report, which is a positive, is just a few weeks ago we released, Pacifica released, an iPhone, iPad, Android
app, and the developer is sitting right across from me here, our own Ally Alexa. Do we have any numbers yet on how many people are listening to our streams using those apps for that?
Interesting stats.
Did you want to answer?
I'm looking it up.
But in any case, I think that's a notable accomplishment. We've been talking about this for years, and now it's actually out there. And actually, how many people in the audience know about this app or actually installed it?
What two board members?
Three.
I did.
Four. Five. Six. Seven.
We have an eight.
Somebody gave me another
five. Oh. All right, moving on. Thank you.
Ally had something to say.
In the last week, 700 people downloaded it. Over the last 2 weeks, we have over 8,000 people listening via the app. We're safe. So hopefully those aren't just people that knew about it before, but have discovered it through the app and some viral.
Explain what the app is for those who are
Please, Emily, do not call out again, though, or I'll ask you to leave.
No. Hopefully those are new subscribers. Those will be all new subscribers. Thank you.
Let's just go long and sweet for that.
Okay, I would like to know how much the service contract is, too. As for the Arbitron, let me point out a little context here. All talk radio increased listenership this fall due to the election. So we'll see if it lasts. I mean, KPCC increased also. Around the country, all talk radio added listeners. And the fund drive days added one to the budget. It was budgeted at 14 days, so 15 was one over budget. And I don't believe it's up to the board to decide whether we should have Gary Null or not. It's really up to management to figure out what kind of programming serves an audience and how to raise funds in order to support the expenses that we have. The board can obviously not do that. So it needs, it's management's job. And we've made a request to see the income from all the programs for like on a yearly basis. I'd still like to see that.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to get the fund drive of the Arbitron. At any rate, even if it's a ballot, we are paying for them. So I'd like to see them. Can we get them for those who would like to see them?
Just a couple things. The talk radio we have across the board is good. We talk radio, most of the FI still take it. Hopefully it'll stay up. It dropped away a little bit after the election, as I noted in the report. I can give you last month's Arbitron look over with me if you want it today. I'm more than happy to do that. There's a couple of things in there that may or may not bear out. It looks like our demographic shifted up a decade. We were, the bulk of our listeners last time I looked was 45 to 54, it's now 55 to 64. And in terms of, I can't remember what the other question was, but I'm sure it was worthwhile.
The extra fund drive day.
When we set out to do the fund drive in December, everybody was going to run 4 to 18. Everybody. Some stations changed that. We didn't.
The budget was 14 days.
Well, I'm just telling you what, we agreed to do it the network.
Okay, well, the budget was 14 days, so I don't, you know. That was
I wanted to make two suggestions. Number one, that the general manager report to the LSD could be posted and accessible on the website. All of the past months, at least during the time you've been on the position that you've generated, so that we could see them historically. Secondarily, I would like to make, if management could make an effort to save us $20,000 of direct cash and a lot of resources by bringing this election to quorum and do it as if you were running a fund drive. Is there any way you can create an initiative or create the excitement about, you know, making it like a horse race? Hey, we got two more ballots in. Whatever's required. As I understand it, there's no ability to get a substitute ballot. Maybe there is. But whatever it is, if we only need 400 votes, we should be able to get it from the field, because if 90% of the people haven't sent them in. So if they start digging around or, you know, find a friend or do something, we just get those 400 votes in and we've got quorum. And this is the issue. They don't have to vote. They just have to send the ballot in. It can be blank. It still counts towards quorum because that's a vote. Say, I don't want anybody. So those two recommendations. And one last comment, I'll get off. There's a lot to be said for a good quality snake oil.
I mentioned earlier that, you know, even if people don't want to market for container bag, we can still count up, and that's good. And we'll be making a major push to do that in the next few days. Hopefully we can. I mean, you know, out of, we expected, what, 1,800 votes, and we got, so 400 short. Maybe there's not an awful lot of extra. I do like the shades, though. You look like a rock star.
Yeah.
Well, I am.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your report, Berger. I would like to ask, I think it's helpful sometimes to see what a debt hour is, but I think it's more helpful to see what the entirety of the fund drive is in terms of assessing which shows are bringing in more revenue. So I would appreciate, for future reference, if we could see what the results are from the whole fund drive, and then you can assess who did best. Some of that is hard to assess also because of the nature of rerunning the same programming over and over and over again, which may generate a lot of money, but it doesn't really give you an assessment of how particular shows you're doing, but I still think it would be helpful to us. I think, as I recall, Gary Null entered the fund drive very late in this particular drive. So. Yeah, second. Okay. So who knows what the numbers really are there. As for the election, Well, I will reiterate that I think the election here at Kay is probably the worst one of the whole network. I still don't have a ballot. My mother still doesn't have a ballot. I still have staff members that don't have ballots. And I'm not laying that at your feet, although I was told that the staff, that the list that was sent to the election services company didn't include any addresses, only included email addresses, and that's part of why none of the staff members, paid staff, received ballots. I don't believe any of the volunteers, at least I've heard multiple complaints of people that should have qualified for ballots as volunteers, and that list was never sent to election services. And that's been a continuous problem throughout multiple elections, that people who volunteer and are told they will get ballots, but there is no list ever really effectively communicated. So I think that's something that needs to be addressed for the next election as well. And I'm out of time. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, some of those lists were given to the local elections by the August.
Did they include physical mail addresses?
Well, he was of the view that he could contact people and get their physical mail addresses if he didn't already have them. And that's what we understood he was doing. On top of that...
I'm sorry, could you clarify why paid staff didn't have physical addresses provided?
Well, they were provided to him later on because he had undertaken to go to them and find physical addresses via email. But that actually didn't occur. That did not occur. So I provided physical addresses after I learned that was the case. However, the election supervisor, I mean, you know, I got an email from the National election supervisor last week asking me to confirm a particular person worked as a volunteer for the station. And then I got an email from him 2 days later saying, sorry, this is the BAI guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was some real confusion at a national level as well as local. Mm-hmm. But as I understand it, the staff ones were actually, the staff members were able to vote via email in any case towards the end. So that's why the numbers came up. But in any case, I did provide the physical addresses to the National Election Supervisor as soon as I learned that the mail addresses were there.
Well, apparently he found out about it from me because he said my email was the first one to him informing that paid staff had never received any ballots. So nothing came from the local supervisor to the national supervisor. It came from me to the national supervisor and flowed downhill from that. So clearly there was a big gap, and it continues, and I suspect the reason we're not reaching quorum is not just because people are not responding, but because a lot of people have still failed to receive ballots. Yeah.
Your ballot would have been as well?
I'm not sure at this point. I've sent money, I can't keep track, but certainly as a... I think
just confirmation, so I can...
Yeah, if it came in under hundreds of hours of volunteer work, that would go with the email that came from people that say they didn't get their volunteer ballot. So maybe some years I give money and some years I just give time, so I'm not frankly sure, but... It's clear a lot of people didn't receive ballots, you know. So more announcements, the maybe 800 number going out on the air would be helpful because,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, we had an issue with that, too, where people would call that number and get nothing.
I totally get that, and there's no Spanish language at the other end, and I hope we never use that company again, but anyway.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, there were a lot of breakdowns in, you know, why the election services company didn't, yeah, we're still going down the first circle, and we're way past nine.
I think Fred and Lydia both want to do it.
Yeah, okay. We're still going around the first circle, and we're way past nine. I'll just reiterate that. You talked earlier, and you agreed that it would be advisable to have the programmers and hosts call for people to send the ballots, because maybe that's the main way, as opposed to just the canned announcement saying who sent your ballot. I think if that happened in the coming weekend, if the local election supervisor did a ballot collection at the station on January 6th, that we would probably be able to reach quorum. If people heard their hosts calling for them to vote and to send their ballots, with or without preference, if they had no preference. The PND approved, or the National Finance Committee approved budget for the station. As I read it, we tried to have a discussion last month that didn't achieve quorum. Cut the payroll for the station by two positions. That's what my understanding was. And I'm wondering if there's any plan for dealing with that that can be discussed in public.
I'm still working my way through that.
Okay. Thank you.